visual aid, whatever. It was good. Praise the Lord. Helps us to realize how the church is to function together, work together. Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, if you will, tonight. I was thinking about the old couple in the... They were not in a rest home yet, but they were about to get there. And one day he said to her, you know, he said, I'm proud of you. She said, what'd you say? He said, I said, I'm proud of you. She said, talk louder, you know I can't hear good. He said, I said, I'm proud of you. Oh, she said, I'm tired of you too. Now you may feel like that tonight. Amen. It's been a long week. Amen. And I've got good news. Amen. We're almost to the end, and yet it's been a good week, I think. Amen. You may be tired of us. We're not tired of you yet. Amen. May get tired of you before it's over, but we're not tired of you yet. Amen. It's been a blessing to me personally to be here and to have a part of this World Mission Revival. I want to preach tonight about taking the Great Commission seriously. I mentioned the other night that a lot of churches... they practice the Great Commission. That is, they're involved in to some extent of having a missionary effort. But the truth of the matter is, not many churches take the Great Commission seriously. It's something that really makes a difference in the life of an individual and of a church when the church really takes the Great Commission to heart. It happened to us, that is to me personally, and for me as the pastor to the church, back in 1962. And we were still in the storefront building. We started in a storefront, and probably be good for everybody to start that way. But we were a little storefront building on Rigsby Avenue, 1311 Rigsby. It was one of these little deals that, it looked like kind of like a glorified chicken coop. It was centrally heated in the summer and air conditioned in the winter. We had, a little 20-foot wide, 50-feet long little shotgun building. All our chairs were little borrowed chairs that we'd borrowed from the school board. My pulpit was a cardboard box. I'd found a big cardboard box that a sunglass display had come in, and I sealed it with masking tape and then got some brown china old shoe polish and painted it. And that was my pulpit. I'm just saying that we didn't really have a whole lot. You know, we started out with a little rented building. And, you should start off with some families that are with you. Well, we didn't know that. We learned all things in school, but didn't learn you're supposed to get some families together. So just Doris, I started. And... in 1962, we'd been there 4 years. We started in 1958, May of 1958. We'd been there 4 years, and God had filled the little building up, which doesn't mean a whole lot, I guess 70, 75 people. And I was really praying for God to give us, our own property and give us our own building. And I thought, Lord, I'd like to have a real pulpit. I'd like to have some, real pews in the church. I'd like to have a building of our own, what have you. And I was up there praying one morning, one week morning by myself. And I was down on my knees in that little building praying and telling God all that we needed. And God really spoke to me as clearly as God's ever spoken to me. And He said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields that are white unto harvest. God said to me that day, get your eyes up off of yourself. I was telling God, we need this, we need that. And we did. We needed all those things. And there wasn't anything we didn't need. Amen. Kind of when I was in Bible school, folks used to ask me, what size shoes do you wear? So what size you got? Amen. That's the size I wear, whatever they are. Amen. We could use anything. We used everything. We needed everything. But I was praying, telling God how much what we needed. And God said, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields that are white in the harvest. That was 1962. That was a turning point in my personal life. And that morning, I tell you, God broke my heart And man, I fell on the floor. I was on my knees. I just fell on the floor. And I lay there and cried. I don't know how long. Just ashamed of myself. Embarrassed at the fact I was telling God all we needed. Really, we had a building. You know, we had some chairs. I had a pulpit. You know, but anyway, God did something in me that day. And from that day to this, I have done my best to take the Great Commission seriously. I mean, it became real to me and serious with me from that day until this day. And of course, I began to preach to my church. We planned our first World Missions Revival, a conference, you call it here. And boy, I never forget that first World Mission Revival we had. I invited one missionary. And he showed up, you know, Brother Bernie Horowitz, a missionary from Japan. And he showed up, and we lived at 155 Day Road in a little two-bedroom house, a little clapboard house. There was Doris and I, our five children, and then we had taken five other kids off the street, teenagers. The judge had given us some one by one. We were trying to really help those boys. So there was 12 of us living in that little two-bedroom place. And the missionary showed up, you know, and that little house is kind of, you know, it really wasn't much. It wasn't much. And I'd invite him, you know, I mean, he didn't know us, didn't know what we had there. And he's out looking for support. And so he shows up there we invite him in the house. We give him a glass of tea and we're going to start that night. And we sit there and chat a while. He said, could we go see the church? And I said, sure. And I'm sure he thought, I hope the church is better than the house. Amen. The parsonage ain't much, but you know, maybe the church is. So we got in the car and drove up to 1311 Rigsby, and that little glorified chicken coop of a building, and I just saw his countenance just fall. He thought, it's worse, getting worse, amen? I mean, it started out bad, it's going downhill. And so I unlocked a little bit. It really wasn't much to it. I mean, as I see it now, I unlocked the little doors, opened up, we went inside, he saw that little sprague, a bunch of chairs and what have you, and we put a banner, a thermometer up there of our goal for missions in the coming year. And he looked at that and he said, could I talk to you a minute? Could I talk to you a minute? And I said, well, sure, Brother Horowitz. And we sat down on the two front chairs up there. I'll never forget it. And he put his arm around me, kind of like a Dutch uncle, you know, and he said, man, I admire your faith. He said, I admire your faith. Now, our goal for that first year was going to be $1,200 for that year, $100 a month. Now, again, you have to remember, that's way back there in 1962. I told you our salary, which wasn't a salary, our income out of the little box we were living out of, was averaging $24 a week. And so that's kind of the times we were living in. And here we're setting a goal for $100 a month from our little church. And he said, I admire your faith. He said, but in case we don't reach that, I hope you're not going to be really disappointed. And I said, well, Brother Horowitz, I believe we can reach it. Oh, he said, I know you think you can, but he said, in case we don't, you know. And I'm sure he was trying to prepare me. He thought, how in the world could this, I mean, here they live in a little two-bedroom, little shack, and then got this little chicken coop of a building. How in the world could these people give $100 a month above what they're giving to support, you know, and carry on the work here? Well, we prayed for the meeting that night. He preached faithfully Wednesday night and Thursday night and Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning. And we passed out cards. We do it that way in Town East. We pass out little faith promise cards and people put down what they're going to give per week, you know, for the coming year. And, we started gathering those cards in and totaling them up. And boy, we was all holding our breath and we finally got up where, you know, we was adding it up and how much it would be for the year. And finally it was up to $600 and $700. For the year at 800 and 900, finally 1,000. And boy, we thought, man, finally 1,100. Yeah, finally we got to 1,200, which was our goal, and went to 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, $1,800. Man, we were just, glory to God, we were thrilled to death. Amen. For the coming year, we was going to give God $1,800 in mission giving. And, by the way, we actually gave $3,600 that first year. We gave twice what our people had promised. I'm saying that the next year we increased that, and next year we increased that, and so forth, and kept increasing it year by year by year. And I'm saying that we began taking the Great Commission seriously. We realized that God's work was bigger than Town East Baptist Church and our little group there. It was bigger than us. It involved and included the whole world. Amen. And so tonight, I'd like to just preach for a while about taking the Great Commission serious and what happens when you take it seriously. There's a lot of wonderful things that happen when you take it seriously. There's a lot of things that aren't so wonderful that happen when you take it seriously. And I think tonight we need to consider what really happens when you take the Great Commission to heart. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, the Great Commission, by the way, I want to say this. The Great Commission is not a challenge that God lays down. Someone said that's a wonderful challenge there in Matthew 28. No, it's not a challenge. The Great Commission is not a challenge, but a command. Amen. Now, a challenge you can accept or reject. You can take it or leave it. But a command, you either obey it or you disobey it. The Great Commission is a command by Jesus. He didn't say, think about it, consider it, pray about it. He said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And by the way, I believe the Great Commission is incumbent upon every church body. I don't think it was given to the invisible church, whatever that is. I think it was given, brother, to each individual church family. And I believe we have a responsibility to do all we can, not to divide it up and say, okay, brother, you know, pastor, you take this country and you take this country. I believe that the whole world is our responsibility. And I'm saying to you and myself tonight that the Great Commission is a command from the Lord Jesus, and we either obey it or we disobey it at our peril. Amen. By the way, it's given in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and really in some way in almost every book of the New Testament, we're given the Great Commission. And I'm saying this tonight, brother, that we need to take it to heart. You know, the church in North Africa, you know, it's hard to believe at one time North Africa was the center of Christianity. North Africa. At one time, it was the red hot Christian center of the world, North Africa. But you know, they became saved and satisfied, and then they became petrified. That is, they didn't reach out. I mean, they became satisfied. You know, they were saved. Amen. They knew the Lord and they enjoyed the Lord, and they gathered together and sang, "Blessed be the tie that binds," and "Bless us for no more," and all that kind of stuff, and were satisfied within themselves and did not look out, did not reach out, and the church in North Africa got swallowed up. And now now it's a mission field. Amen. It's a hard mission field in North Africa now. Amen. Armenia was the same way. At one time, Armenia was a tremendous, a stronghold for Christianity. And yet, because they didn't reach out to the countries around about them, especially the Turks around them, brother, they neglected the Turks, and the Turks went to war against them, and brother, almost wiped them out. I mean, almost destroyed the country of Armenia. I mean, those that could have reached for Christ and won to Christ, they neglected, and that same group of people came and murdered most of them. Most of you are aware that before World War II, that we were challenged again and again by different individuals that had been overseas to send missionaries to Japan, to send missionaries to other parts of the world, but especially Japan. And we neglected that. And because we didn't send our sons to go and preach to the Japanese, we sent our sons to go and fight the Japanese. I'm saying that we need to take the Great Commission to heart. Amen. Too many churches have not, in the past, have not taken the Great Commission seriously, and too many churches today. Now you say, well, we are. Well, I know that many of you are, but many of you are not. Amen. It's very possible that in this church, in fact, very probable this church, like in every church, there are some folks that get in kind of ride on the coattails of the church. And you need to quit getting riding the coattails, and you need to be part of the tails. Amen. You need to get in and be a part of this church and be a part of the great outreach, amen, and not just go around and say, you know, our church is a great missionary church. Our church gives so much to missions. What do you do for missions?
Amen.
See. Well, our church has a real great vision. What? How is your vision?
Amen.
Our people sacrifice. Do you sacrifice? I'm saying, brother, that we need to take the Great Commission seriously. Number one, when you take the Great Commission seriously, you become a genuine threat to the devil, and you need to be prepared for a fight. Now, I don't want to overstress this, but I think it's important we see that what we're doing, when you see just being an average church doesn't bother the devil. The devil does not mind you being an average church. In fact, the devil will encourage you. He'll sing in the choir with you. Amen. He may even send you an offering if you're just an average church, just kind of going along, you know. But when you really begin to take the Great Commission, the matter of evangelizing the world to heart, then you are stepping out into that territory that belongs to the devil. And the devil takes that seriously. Amen. You are a threat to him. And then, brother, I'm telling you, he becomes your avowed enemy because, brother, you stepped into his territory. I'm saying that meet together on Sunday morning doesn't really disturb the devil a whole lot. Just meet together. Even singing hymns doesn't disturb the devil a whole lot. Amen? Even preaching, you know, a lot of different kinds of sermons don't really disturb the devil a whole lot. But when you begin to preach and say, we have a job to evangelize the world. We have a job to carry the gospel to every creature. It is our responsibility. I mean, brother, every one of us, we are responsible before God to see that everyone has an opportunity to hear the gospel. Amen.
Right.
That God's will not be done until every man on the earth has at least had a chance to hear. The devil doesn't like that. We have become a threat to the devil. Amen. You think about these parts of the world he's held for years. I mean, in Mexico. I was in Mexico the first time. I'm talking about more than a tourist. I mean, as a missionary, going doing some missionary work probably 30 years ago, maybe 35 years ago, with Dale. And we went, out into a village. And, I was already a preacher. I was already a pastor. We went out into a village, a remote area. And, and we were going to meet in a famous home that had, we had sent back a tract that they'd gotten. And asked to have a Bible study. We went in there and we were sitting around there and Dale was giving a Bible study. And all of a sudden I began to hear this rumble of voices. I said, oh, what's going on? I said, Dale, what's going on? Oh, he said, it's just a mob back there. I said, a mob? Just a mob? I said, just a mob? What do you mean just a mob? Oh, he said, so we got through and we started to go outside and he said, they've cut our tires. And they'd taken a knife and slashed our tires. I said, oh boy, this is getting, interesting. Amen. What are we going to do? He said, they're going to stone us. He said, we need to be ready now. He said, yeah, that's what he said. I mean, you may not think it, but he's pretty tough. And, so we walked outside there and he said, I'm going to go talk to, it was a woman who was the ringleader. And it wasn't, I'm not talking about three or four people. I'm talking about there were probably 100 people, maybe more than that, gathered around. And they all had rocks. And he said, I'm going to go talk to that. I know she's a ringleader out there. He could see her out there stirring. So he went out to talk to her, boy. And I mean, you could just see her. Boy, brother, you could see the devil. I mean, I don't mean that wrong. I don't mean just, sometimes, we act kind of devilish. But I mean, the devil really had her. You know what he's saying? In a sense, boy, this is my town. These are my people. I've had them for hundreds of years, and you're not going to get them. I'm going to keep them in darkness. I'm going to take them down to hell. Dale talked to her, and she got madder by the minute. And so he backed up. He didn't turn his back on. He backed up, and he said, "Okay, we're going to get in the van. Tires are flat. We're going to go out of here, and they're going to stone us. So just get prepared." And so we took out of the thing, and boy, here the rocks are coming, boom, 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 yeah. But that wasn't really those people didn't just wake up and say, I don't think we like these missionaries. It was the devil himself. Man, listen, the devil has these towns and these villages and these cities and the devil has had them. You think about the Maldives, where there, as far as you know, not one known believer, that's his territory. And brother, if someone tonight were to say, God's called me to go to the Maldives and preach the gospel, I guarantee one thing, brother, you're going to the devil's territory. But that's where we're supposed to go. Amen?
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 Amen.
God help us somehow tonight to realize that when we take the Great Commission to heart, that we are challenging the devil. Amen? I mean, you know, it's no big deal, like I say, when you just have, you know, churchianity. When you just, you know, I mean, get together and, you know, I mean, most churches, brother, the devil doesn't, it's kind of like this. I heard about the devil one day. He's driving along with a bus, load of his little demons. And they stop, you know, here in San Antonio. And he says, go in and check these folks out. And one of these demons goes in, you know, and he's in there a few minutes, come back out and said, no problem with them. Said they're in there, said they're swinging from the chandelier. He said they're rolling on the floor, no problem with them. No problem with, you know, the devil said, get on, let's go on down the street. And he went on down the street, you know, and finally, you know, they sent another one in, and the demon came back from another church, and he said, okay, how's he? He said, no problem there. He said, they're in there, and they're splitting hairs. They're over there, man. They've got some little deal that doesn't amount to a hill of beans that they're trying to split hairs over. You know, amen. I mean, man, you know, no liberty for no one. They're splitting hairs. The devil said, we don't have any problem with them, man. Let's go on down the street, amen. Went on down, you know, I mean, church by church is like that. And then finally let him off at Oak Knoll. And that demon came back, man, his hair was standing straight on end. He said, man, we got trouble here. Amen. Well, that's the way it ought to be. Amen. We got trouble here. These folks, at least some of them, take the Great Commission seriously. Amen. I'm saying tonight that, brother, when we take the Great Commission seriously, we're moving the devil's territory, and brother, we need to be prepared for a fight. Now, he doesn't fight fair. Amen? And he don't come up and say, boo, I'm the devil. Huh? He doesn't wear a red suit. He doesn't have a pitchfork. Amen? He may be dressed in a business suit. Amen? Or in a blue jeans. Who knows? And he'd come and join the church. I'm interested in this church. I want to be a part of this. This is what I've been looking for. Yeah, you've been looking for it. He'd like to come in here and he'd like to destroy it. Amen. Oh yeah. The devil doesn't do all his work outside the church. He works a lot of times within the church. Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
And I'm saying, brother, you know, I'm not trying to make anybody suspicious of anybody. I'm not a suspicious person. Amen. I'm serious. I'm not. But I'm telling you this. The devil doesn't like what's going on in a church like this. And if you think that he, you know, that he's saying hip hip hooray for you, I'm proud of you, amen. I'm glad for y'all here at Oak Knoll. He doesn't. He hates this church. With all the venom in his heart, he hates this church. And so I'm saying when we take the Great Commission seriously, we've invaded the devil's kingdom and we need to be ready for a fight. The second thing that I'd say, the church that takes the Great Commission seriously, you know, when we really take it to heart, amen, we may even trigger criticism within our own fellowship. Can you imagine that? Yes, I can. Amen. You know, no doubt that even within this fellowship, there may be some that have said, well, you know, why are we giving all this money away? You know, we could use, after all, I mean, 271,000 or 277,000, whatever, this past year. I mean, you know, man, just think of what we could do with some of that here. Huh? I mean, I'm saying the church that takes the Great Commission seriously can and may trigger criticism within its own fellowship. And I don't mean by the devil necessarily, although a man can let the devil lead him, but I'm saying, I mean just a, you know, just a carnal Christian. Amen? Who said, well, I've got a little pet project, you know, we ought to be working on, and we could spend some of that money on my pet project. You know, like paving the parking lot out here. Yeah. I'm tired of walking in the mud. Huh? I'd rather have mud on my shoes than blood on my hands.
Amen.
But you know, there's all kinds of little projects around that we can say, well, I don't know why we can't spend some money on this or that or whatever it may be. Again, it's the enemy himself who indirectly is working on the church fellowship. Brother, he hates a church that takes the Great Commission to heart. He didn't care if you have 1,000 members, 10,000 members. He didn't care. I mean, some people have the idea because the church got a huge flock of people, you know, and the parking lot's jammed, and both people are just joining that church right and left. This must be a great church. It may be a zip. It may be a dud. Amen. And many of them are. Amen. The devil doesn't care how many people go and join that church. Amen. I mean, 100 dead people or 1,000 dead people. He didn't care. I mean, when I said dead towards him, dead towards the Great Commission. He doesn't care. Oh, they have a budget of $5 million. Yeah, how much do they use in to try to evangelize the world? Oh, well, that's not our priority. Well, it ought to be. Amen. I'm saying that the church that takes the Great Commission seriously, brother, very well may trigger criticism within the flock. Amen. The church that takes the Great Commission seriously will be disliked by some of its sister churches. You know what happens? Jesus said there in Luke chapter 7, I mean, he's quoting what they said about him. We piped and you didn't dance. You know, and what he's saying was that, you know, the churches and religious people many times want you to, you know, to dance to their tune. They want you to get in tune with them and do it like they do it. Amen. But, you know, someone says, well, you know, we've been playing church. Now we're going to serious about church. Amen. We're going to quit playing church. Amen. We'll quit playing church. And when we quit playing church, those who are still playing church, it kind of shows them up. They don't look too good. Amen. And so what do? Well, they begin to criticize the church that stopped playing church. Amen. Oh, big show offs. Yeah. Yeah. They think they're smart. They think they're something. Yeah. Yeah. All that money for missions. They're doing it for show. They're whatever. You know, they've got ways. I'm saying that the church that takes the Great Commission seriously many times will cause criticism from sister churches. And when I say sister churches, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Those that believe the book, those that are fundamental. Amen. Amen. The church that takes the Great Commission seriously will be avoided by half-hearted Christians. Now that's a blessing. Amen. Now that is a blessing. You know, have you had people kind of cruise through here like we did at Town East? Wow. Where have you been all my life? Woo! Boy! Boy, this is where we've been looking for you. Amen. Yes, sirree. Man, glory to... What? Huh? Where are the next Sunday? They're not here. Huh? I mean, they like the singing. They like the freedom here. They like the love and the fellowship. They like all that. But then when they start hearing the message, woo, this ain't what I'm looking for. Huh? I'm saying, you know, I'm sure this happened hundreds of times, but one fellow at least told us straight out. I mean, just plain English. His name was Davis. He was an Air Force sergeant and he visited our church. Well, we always visit people that visited us. So the following week, we was out in his house, knocked on his door one evening and he came to the door. How are you doing? Well, fine. He invited us in. So we sat down and, you know, chatted for a couple of minutes about various things. And then I said to him, well, Brother Davis, how'd you like our church? He said, man. He said, you know, the church I came out of, and he called the name of it. He said, the church I came out of was dead. It was dead. He said, so we started looking for a church. He said, we came to Town East. He said, well, now Town East ain't dead. It is not dead. Wow. You guys are alive. He said, what we're looking for is a church kind of in between. Cross my heart and hope to die. That's what he told us. Amen. I'm not making that up. Out of his mouth, he said, we're looking for one kind of in between. Well, how many hundreds of others, really that's what they were doing, just didn't have the guts to say it like that. He's saying we don't want a cold church. Amen. We don't want a hot church. We want one of those lukewarm. Amen. That the Lord said that makes him sick at his stomach. What am I saying is that, a church that takes the Great Commission to heart will be avoided by half-hearted Christians. Now, I don't mean they won't ever join, but they won't stay long if they do join. They'll become a part. They won't stay long. Amen? Because this takes you know, dedication, commitment. Amen? I mean, brother, to carry out the Great Commission, to be serious about it. And I don't mean just once a year, see. I'm talking about when it's week after week after week after week after week. Man, the diet of the Great Commission. Amen? I'm sick of it, they say. Amen? They want to go somewhere where someone will tickle their ears. Amen? Spray them a little. I'm saying that the church that takes the Great Commission seriously will be avoided by half-hearted Christians. The fifth thing that tonight I think is important for us to see is that the church that takes the Great Commission to heart, takes it seriously, will be insulated. And you listen to this. This is encouraging to me. Will be insulated from the things that causes most church splits. Now, this is not to say you won't lose some people one by one that come and realize this ain't what they want. But you know, the thing that causes most church splits is a turning inward is what causes a church split. It's when a church begins to look inward and turn inward upon themselves and begin where all their thoughts is upon us and what we need here, what we can do here, and so forth. You know, Paul wrote to the church here at Galatia, and he said, "You did run well. What did hinder you? What hindered you?" And then later he said, you bite and you devour one another. I mean, the church of Galatia began to feed on itself. They began to eat each other up because they became self-centered. They got to thinking about their church and their facilities and their needs and that type of thing instead of looking outward. Amen. You know, if you're looking outward, you don't see a lot of the little flaws that we have. And we do have flaws, don't
Amen.
We?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, I know you don't, but I mean, the rest of us do. Amen. I mean, we do things. We say things. Brother, if you're looking for something to stumble over, you can find it easy enough. You really can. But you see, the person who's looking up, amen, the person who is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, isn't going to see all these flaws around here. But when you start looking around and say, "I don't like the way he parts his hair. I don't like the way he dresses, or don't like the way she does whatever." Well, you know, I mean, I'm saying that the church that takes the Great Commission seriously is not looking around at one another. It's looking at Jesus and looking at the need. It's got his eyes lifted up, as I mentioned earlier, and got his eyes lifted up looking on the fields that are white. Amen. And brother, we're thinking about how to get the gospel out there, not how to settle this brother's problem about how he parts his hair. Who cares how he parts his hair? Amen. I don't know about in this church, but I know this in the Baptist church, one of the worst things you can have is a business meeting. Amen?
Yeah.
We didn't have business meetings. Amen? We didn't have business meetings. But you know, a lot of Baptist churches, they have these business meetings. And I don't know how many churches split in a business meeting. I mean, they're voting on whether to buy toilet paper or not buy toilet paper. Amen? Or they're voting on the color of the carpet they're going to put in the auditorium. Or whatever it may be. And they have a falling out. And they split. They're looking inward. It's foolish. It's stupid. Amen?
Amen.
But I'm saying the church that takes the Great Commission seriously is not looking at stuff like that. It's not dwelling on stuff like that. Amen. It's not even not voting on stuff like that. Amen. And so you're insulated from the things that cause a traditional church splits, which is self-centeredness. Amen. You know, I preach in many, many, many world mission revivals in churches. And even though I've had evangelists tell me of meetings they were planning on going to, Brother Lindo may have had some experience like this when he was an evangelist full time, but I know many evangelists have told me that they've had meetings canceled because of church split. I've never had a church cancel who had scheduled a world mission revival and call and say, "Sorry, you can't come. We just had a church split." But churches who are not having world missions conferences, who are not having a world mission revival, who are not really reaching out and trying to, lift up their eyes, they are having church splits. I'm saying, brother, the church that takes the Great Commission to heart is insulated from the things that cause most church splits. It's looking out and up instead of around and down. Amen. And I praise the Lord for that tonight. Amen. We're insulated. Brother, thank God for the protection that God gives us. The next thing that I would say tonight is the church that takes the Great Commission seriously will produce missionary volunteers from its own family. I think that's a problem why we're not having that many missionary volunteers around the country is because we don't take the Great Commission seriously. You know, when a pastor gets up on Wednesday night before his World Mission Conference is going to start on Sunday and says, "Oh, by the way, this coming Sunday, we're going to have a few missionaries in and we're going to have our World Mission Revival." And no more planning, no more preparation than that. What does that say to the church? It says, I mean, in words loud and clear, "Hey, church, this ain't real important." Amen? But when a church really takes the missions, world missions to heart, they have prayer meetings. They pray towards the meeting. They pray during the meeting. Amen? I mean, things are geared. It's announced. It's people prepare for it. It's something said. It's not just a meeting. It's not even an important meeting. It is the most important meeting in the church. Amen? And you know what that's going to do? That's going to produce missionaries. Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Amen? What does a World Missionary Church do? It's training up children the way they should go. I mean, the preaching, amen, week after week and year after year is saying, I mean, missionary service is honorable. It's wonderful service. It's a God-ordained calling, amen. You could not surrender to a better calling than to be a missionary, what have you. And so thank God that a church that really takes the Great Commission to heart is going to produce missionaries. Amen. Amen. It'll just happen. And praise God that it does happen. Amen. Praise God it's happening here. Praise God we've seen it happen in Town East. Amen. Thank God we've got a couple of our granddaughters at God's call to the mission field. Amen. Praise God for that. And others. But I'm saying tonight, brother, that the church that takes the Great Commission seriously is going to produce missionary volunteers. God help us to always take it seriously. God help us that we would so... Hey, listen, you need to believe it yourself, brother. Sister, you need to believe it. Not just your pastor, not just others in the church. You need to take it seriously. Your son, your daughter needs to realize that you really mean business about this matter of evangelizing the world. Then may I say in the next place, a church that takes the Great Commission seriously can count on God's special favor. I believe God favors a church that really takes the Great Commission to heart. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I believe that God favors the church. I mean, in many, many ways. You know, over the years, we saw God do so many things at Town East that you just had to say, it's God. You know, we had a couple little stories. We had one day we had a family show. In fact, Brother Lindell met this couple. We had a family show up in our church one Sunday morning. We didn't know them. We always had visitors. And this couple showed up. They were driving a motorhome. A big, fine, superior motorhome. At that period of time, I think that's about the best you could buy. And they were in the service that morning. I didn't know them. They didn't know me. But that morning, they had parked here. They were traveling. They were taking a year's vacation. And they had stopped in an RV park here in town, not knowing a soul here. Got up that Sunday morning and turned on the radio and started going across the dial and heard someone preaching, which turned out to be me, and listened to me preach. And when I got through preaching, he said to his wife, "I want to go out and hear that fellow preach in person." And he got the address off the radio announcement, and they were in service that Sunday morning. And after the service, we had a great service that morning. I mean, God really, we saw people saved just almost all the time. And that morning, 7 or 8 people saved, walked the aisle. And I was staying outside the door, and people were going out, shaking hands, and this fellow came out and he said, "Man, we enjoyed the service. We got a blessing." He said, "You need anything?" Now, I've had a lot of people tell me they've enjoyed the service and they got a blessing, but it didn't everybody says, "Do you need anything?" like that. And I said, "Well, glad to meet you, Bob." His name was Bob Blankenship. Her name was Audelia. And I said, "I'm glad you did, Bob. Praise the Lord." He said, I said, "Do you need anything?" I said, "Have you ever known a Baptist church didn't need something?" And he said, "Well, do you need something?" I said, "What size something are you talking about?" And he said, "Any size. Any size." I like that. Amen. Well, I said, "Yes, sir, there is something. We've been praying for a bus." At that time, I think we had 5 buses, and we were praying for another bus, for a church bus route, for a 6 bus. And I said, "Yeah, we need a bus. We've got an area we want to start a bus route in, and we need a bus." He said, "How much you need?" I told him. He just cocked his foot up there on the windowsill outside the church there, took a checkbook out and wrote out a check and gave it to him right there. I said, "Thank you." He said, "We're coming back tonight." I said, "Good, brother. Come back. Bring your checkbook with you. Amen." "Sure. Come back." They came back that night. Now, that afternoon, our evangelist came. We started that morning. I preached. That night, we started a revival. And we had Hyman Appleman, the converted Jew, was our evangelist for that week. And so he came that night. Of course, we always had, you know, really good crowds. And folks were standing up. Every chair was full. They were standing around the walls in the back. And after the service, he came out and he said, "Boy," he said, "we need more chairs, don't we?" I said, "Yeah, we do." He said, "Well, I'm going to get us some." I said, "Good. Help yourself." He went and bought 50 folding chairs the next day. Amen. He said, "We're going to stay for the week." I said, "Good. Stay, brother. Stay." Amen. I'm telling you what, he did more things that week. I mean, he said, "We need to advertise this meeting." I said, "Okay, Bob." I thought to myself, "Advertise it? Why?" You know, I mean, we couldn't hardly get anybody else in the church anyway. But he said, "We ought to advertise." He said, "You get some TV advertising, some radio advertising. Get some newspapers. And I'll pay for it. I said, okay. So I advertised. Amen. He paid for it. Stayed all that week. At the close of the meeting, we were in there. The men were counting the money, what we got for the evangelist, you know, and we heard a tap on the door. And I went to the door and his mom, he said, can I come in? I said, well, come on in. I said, well, come on in. Amen. And he said, what did we get for the evangelist? I said, well, we got, and I told him what it was, which is a good offering. He said, not much, is it? Well, I thought it was pretty good, you know. He said, I want to give some more. So he writes another check and puts it in the offering. Then he turned to me and said, and I want to give you an offering. So he writes me a check. And then he put his arm around me and said, oh, Brother Joe, he said, y'all have been such a blessing to me this week. And they got in their motor home and left. Now, is that unusual or is that unusual? Huh? You think that happens to all kinds of churches up and down? I don't think so. I think that God shows special favor in many ways like that to a church that takes the Great Commission to heart. Amen? I mean, God just has people that He, you know, just sends to places like that to meet needs like that. Amen? How many times we saw God do things? I mean, hey, listen, I told you about meeting in the storefront building. And you know, I guess we'd have been there forever. Except, you know, God, once we got our priorities straight, we lifted our eyes up. I told God that morning, by the way, I said, God, if we never have a building of our own, if we never have any property, if we never have any pews, if I never have a real pulpit, dear God, we're gonna support mission. Amen. We had that missions conference I told you about. And shortly after that, one Sunday morning, during the preaching service, during the service, not the invitation, but during the service, a lady stands up on the right-hand side, and she's crying, and she's walking down the aisle. And as she's walking, she's taking rings off her finger. She's taking her watch off her arm. And she walks up the front, and our Lord's Supper table is kind of like what you got here, only it wasn't this nice. But she came up here, and she laid those rings and that watch on that table, and she looked up and said, Brother Joe, that's to help us to build us a building. And about that time, people started getting up all over that building. It just like God just came down. Just like God just descended. Whoom, like that. And folks got up. Boy, people were crying. Man, people were coming to the front. And people were giving their cars. People were giving their savings bonds. Some had still had World War II bonds. One man sold his house. I mean, kids were giving their bicycles and their tricycles. Women were giving jewelry of all kinds. People were pledging money they had. When they got through, that table was loaded with stuff. And we stepped out. God had given us a piece of property. I mean, gave it to us. And so we stepped out and started building a building. We never borrowed a dime and built a building. Built a building, never borrowed a nickel. Built it debt-free. Amen.
Yeah.
How did that happen? God just, amen. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things, God said, will be added unto you. Amen. It's kind of like God said, you take care of your business, I mean my business, and I'll take care of your business. That's pretty good deal. I like that. Amen. And we start taking care of God's business, I mean the main business, a world evangelizing, and God started taking care of our business. And God did for us what we could have never done for ourselves. I'm saying the church that takes the Great Commission seriously can expect, and I think ought to expect, the special blessing of God. Amen. I know, I'm not saying you do it for that, but I'm saying it just happens that way. Amen. I'm not doing it to get a special blessing. I'm doing it because it's right and I want to do it. But God wants to do what He's doing too. And it's right. Amen. Because if you give, it's going to be given unto you. Whether you like it or not. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Oh, I mean, so many ways, so many times God blessed us there and you know, just, I mean, met every need. I mean, financially, we just did well. Amen. I mean, we took care of every need and our missionary giving increased. But you know, and here's something else we saw. We saw that as our giving increased, the missions, that the local work, the needs, I mean, the provision for the local work increased as well. Amen. And God is concerned about the local work as well as the farm work. Amen. The next thing I'm going to say tonight is that the Great Commission the church that takes the Great Commission seriously, I think will, have a privilege of rejoicing at the judgment seat, in a special way. I think that God's going to say to those that have really, been serious for Him, I think He's going to say, just help yourself. Amen. And I think I'm just going to help myself. I think I'm just going to, you know, just, I mean, shout like I've always wanted to shout. Now, I'm a shouter. I like to shout. Amen. I don't mean in front of you. I'm talking about by myself many times. I do my best shouting. Amen. When I'm driving down the street, man, I get thinking about the goodness of God, the blessing of the Lord, and man, I just roll the window up and say, glory! Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. But brother, I've never really had the liberty to just shout and praise God with, you know, with all the abandon that I want to have. And I think in that day, brother, you know, Jesus said when they were praising Him as He came into Jerusalem, and they said, you know, tell these people be quiet. And He said, if they were quiet, the stones themselves would cry out and begin to praise Me. Amen. I mean, it's something, brother, we want to praise God. And I think, brother, in that day when we stand before Him, and thank God we are going to be before Him, and at that judgment seat, we're going to have the privilege of just really praising Him. Amen? I read this morning, I believe it was, or maybe yesterday morning, again, I think it's in Acts 5, I forget where it's at now, but about the lame man, I think it's Acts 5, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I to thee. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And he rose. The Bible said he rose and walked, and he went with him in the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Man, he wasn't just walking. I said, well, wasn't that good? What do you mean, man? He was walking and leaping and jumping up and down, brother, clicking his heels together and praising God. Amen. Now, I know some of you are a little more reserved than that. But in that day, you know, he may just turn you loose. Amen. 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 Doris is not a shouter, but in that day, she's probably going to shout. Amen. A shouter. Amen. I mean, praise God tonight for the privilege. The Bible says there in Daniel 12, and they that be wise shall shine as the stars, or pardon me, as the brightness of the firmament firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. You're going to shine. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm just saying tonight we need to take the Great Commission seriously. It's not a once a year something where we have a little emphasis and say, well, let's get this over and get it behind us. And then get back to the main business. This is the main business. Amen. See? In fact, this is the business. Amen? I mean, evangelism is the business of the church. It's the only reason I think a church has a right to pass a plate or have a collection box, however you do it. It's the only reason you have a right to put a sign up front and say, you know, a church or gatherings in Jesus' name or whatever you call it. Amen. It's the only reason we have a right to, you know, to invite people to come, because we're doing what the Great Commission is. We're going to all the world, beginning right outside that door and to the ends of the earth. We're taking it seriously. God help us tonight. If you're not taking the Great Commission seriously, you need to pray tonight and ask God. You need to get on your knees at the altar and say, Lord, God, I know these others, some of these others, I know that they're taking, you know, this matter seriously. And I've never really seen it that way. I've never really felt the seriousness of it. I've never really got the burden it ought to have. God, burden my heart. Let me see what You see. And by the way, you know, one of the reasons why we have a meeting like this and why, you know, why do we sing missionary choruses and songs? Why do we have missionaries speak? Why do we ask, the speaker, Joe West, why? We want him to preach, you know, about mission. Well, you know, Jesus, the Bible says, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. That is, he had to see something. And by that, I mean, whether you see it, the actual people, or whether through the preaching and the singing, you see it. We need to see something. Amen? We need to see the world as God sees the world. What I'm saying is, brother, when he saw something, then he felt something. Amen? He was moved with compassion. And when he saw something, he felt something, and then he did something. Amen? I mean, a lot of times we ask people to do something when they've not seen anything. They've not felt anything. Amen? I mean, I want to see, and through the preaching and the music and the praying, I want to see something. And then I want to feel something. Amen? I want God to touch my heart. And then I think I'll be able to do what God wants me to do. Amen. And maybe God's done that for you this week. You've seen something that you maybe never seen before in the way of the world as God sees it. And you felt something. Well, thank the Lord. You can now do something that'll be pleasing to God. You can do it like God wants you to do it. Amen. Just obey God tonight. Amen. Let's stand together. Everyone standing. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, for all that You mean to us. And we thank You for the great commission, dear Lord, tonight. And God, I do pray that You might help us. Lord, we take it to heart, God. But I pray You'd help it even be more real on my heart. God, help it to become even a bigger matter on my heart. And God, help us tonight here in this fellowship. God, help us that we might see it. We might really see the world. God, tonight, help us to see it through Your eyes. See it, God, as You see it. Lost and undone. Oh, God, blind without hope. God, help us to see it tonight. And our Father, may we feel. Lord, You were moved with compassion. God, help us to be moved. Oh, God, move us, Lord. Stir our hearts. God, touch us deep inside in our hearts. Then, God, help us that we might respond to You and do all we ought to do. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I invite you tonight to respond to God as He might have spoken to your heart, whether it's to come to the altar tonight and pray, or pray where you're at. You just do whatever God wants you to do while we sing the invitation hymn, number 95. I'll go where You want me to go, dear Lord. God has spoken to your heart, and tonight, I mean, some need to come and say, Lord, increase my vision, and God, increase my burden. Help me to care about this world as I ought to care about it.